Hi friends, Professor Venkatagar back again, Chapter 11, E-Training. Okay, very interesting. Objectives of this chapter: understand the meaning and significance of E-Training, classify the E-Training programs, acknowledge the advantages and disadvantages of E-Training, know the meaning of blended training and its relationship with E-Training. So let's get on. The increased demand towards e-training is clearly motivated by many benefits it offers. We have seen in the last about more than two decades, ever since internet has become the mantra, e-training has gained a lot of ground. Now e-training has become practically, it has come to stay, and every aspect of industry, every part of life in fact, is into e-living, if I can use the word. However much e-training is praised and innovated, computers would never completely eliminate human instructors and other forms of education delivery. This is one thing which I agree. E-training is an enabler. E-training can be an enabler, and e-training is effective in certain parts of training, but not all. When it comes to behavioral training, when it comes to individual transformation, e-training would not be the right medium. E-training can only supplement it. It is, however, important to know advantages of e-training and how these outweigh the limitations of a traditional training approaches. E-training is good for organizations as it promises better use of time, accelerates learning, reaches across geographies, and fixes accountability for the learning outcome. It reduces paperwork and administrative costs. It is learner-centric and requires full involvement of the trainees for the learning to occur. E-training involves the use of a computer and other electronic devices to provide training and education material. Today, this is common knowledge. Everybody knows what it is. Using a computer, using internet, your Wi-Fi, etc. E-training is any virtual act or process used to acquire data, information, skills, or knowledge. E-training is an enabled learning, the learning in the virtual world where technology merges with human creativity to accelerate and leverage the rapid development and application of knowledge. It covers a wide set of applications and processes such as web-based learning, computer-based training, virtual classrooms, and digital collaborations. It includes the delivery of content via intranet that is within the close premises, audio and videotape, satellite broadcast, interactive television and CD-ROMs. Communication technology enables the use of conference calls, video conferencing, internet chats, content-loaded websites, emails, discussion forums, and collaborative software. We as vSchool, we are using this, and this particular department, Distance Learning Hybrid, is using this in a very, very intensive way, as you know. Right? And that is how this material, this video is reaching you, in fact. Okay. E-training is a convergence of the internet and the learning, or internet-enabled learning as you call it. It is the use of network technologies to create, foster, deliver and facilitate learning anytime, anywhere. You got a flexibility. Thanks to e-training, you can do it anywhere, any geography, anywhere, where all you need is a network, and there you are. It is a delivery of individualized, comprehensive, dynamic learning content in real time, aiding the development of communities of knowledge, linking learners and practitioners with experts. Okay. It is a process of delivering accountability, accessibility, and opportunity to allow people and organizations to keep up with the rapid changes that define the world of internet. Thanks to internet, the world has shrunk. We can communicate with anybody anytime on a real-time basis. And using the internet medium with satellite linking, we are able to get things done and we are able to take rapid decisions pan-global. It is a force that gives people and organizations the competitive edge to enable them to keep ahead of the rapidly changing global economy. It's common to every industry today. You can take any industry, and this is one. E-business is very, very common now. The beauty about the internet is that it provides an entirely new context for teaching and learning. The context is, it removes the constraints of time and location for instructors as well as learners. Moving a course to the web presents the perfect opportunity to return to the core principles of teaching and learning to create a new model of the best practices. You can take an example of our own learning material, what we are doing. We have our link as most of your access. We have a lot of material that is there. You have the semester 2 projects also which you do, wherein you have to go through a number of reading. So you can just compare all the things that is being offered to you through this course, distance learning hybrid, and you can make out that this is all adding up very well. So you know it very well. The importance of e-learning, the continuous efforts of technology giants the world over have brought in user-friendly training and teaching technologies at affordable price, which were unheard of in the past. Long back, you know, when Google came, the searching was not, we were not getting all the results. But because of the changes, because of the constant research, the feedback they've got from users, today a medium like Google has become so very efficient that any information you want, you can get it at a flick of a button. Anything and everything, right? The workplaces and homes are being networked with sophisticated communication devices, thereby paving the way for information from anywhere in the world at any time, at any place. The workforce in the 21st century is no more confined to a particular geographical location. It is anywhere. The necessities of business have forced even members of work teams to get them distributed pan-global and yet work together effectively. You can have a marketing person sitting in a place like Mumbai. You can have the service manager sitting in Delhi perhaps and some other city, and then yet the things will go on very well. We don't have to be physically under one roof. Business and product life cycles have compressed substantially in the ever-changing world of business. Thus, when business cycles are shortened, organizations cannot afford to send their employees away for work for several weeks or months to undergo classroom training. So what really happens is that we find that when the businesses are more demanding, the travel time is reduced and things are happening on a real-time basis thanks to the internet. Under these conditions, organizations, by deploying the e-training solutions, want employees to learn and perform simultaneously. The new form of work organizations have created lonely workplaces wherein there are not enough experts to guide the junior employees for the development of their knowledge and skills. You're sitting alone and working, so you're not with a group of people. There's no interactivity. That is one of the issues that we're facing. E-training solutions can bridge this gap by providing ready information on such distributed workforce anywhere and anytime, thereby creating an instant expertise. Take an IT company. The e-training is used left, right and center, and that's actually bridging the gap of people who are sitting in the different geographies in the same IT company. Right? Traditional classroom training is quite expensive. It involves hiring the place, it involves people coming there, and you have to cater to them in terms of other facilities, so it's very expensive. Business processes and products are constantly changing, which creates a need for retraining people very often. If the employees working across the world are required to be brought together, then there would be no resources to run the business. E-training solutions can help by carrying and delivering the training program right to the place of the learner rather than forcing to travel to a distance training center. Like some of the sessions we are taking today, you know, the COVID is on in this, still it is on. So this is, we are going, we are taking the various software available, and we are actually doing training in remote. I mean, people are in different places and we are making it happen. Maybe not with the totally the same results as you do it when they are together, but it's appreciably good, right? Employees are already working up to as much as 10 to 16 hours in a day. In other words, there is a constant work pressure, stress and burnout, imbalance in personal lives and discord in many families. This is happening because thanks to this way of working, long hours, focus only on the net all the time. Your work is demanding that. Talking to people in different time zones. You are in India, you're talking to somebody who's in Australia, who's ahead of you in time. You're talking to somebody in US who's behind you in time. And there is a lot of confusion in your own biorhythm of your whole life. And it creates personal issues at home with the people around. So many issues we are facing because of this. Is it bad? It's not bad. We need to structure it properly. It's a great enabler. But we need not go overboard and do this a little bit too much. Under these circumstances, it is practically impossible to expect the employees to stay longer at work or sacrifice their holidays for training, which is what many people are actually doing, unfortunately. E-training solutions can help employees by delivering learning content at home so that employees can balance their personal lives and learn whenever, wherever they are comfortable. For example, if you're working in a company and you're working for long hours, instead of conducting the training program at your at the company itself or sending you out to some hotel or some banquet hall, the same training can be conducted at home on a Saturday, Sunday when you're sitting at home, so that you have you're much more relaxed or better than sitting in a different place, traveling and all the nuisance value. Okay. Types of e-training. E-training can be classified into two categories, synchronous and asynchronous, depending upon how the learning and the teaching takes place. In the synchronous approach, both learning and teaching takes place in real time, same time, even though the trainer and the learners are physically separated from each other. Take the example of our virtual class which we are running in vSchool for the distance learning students. The faculty, like me, sitting at the college premises, and then the students are at different locations at their homes or offices. On a real-time basis, there is a delivery of the lecture, at the same time you people are learning. Examples like listening to a live radio broadcast and FM, watching a live television broadcast, audio video conferencing, internet telephony, online lectures, two-way satellite broadcasts. These are some of the examples. In synchronous, the trainer delivers a live lecture or a demonstration and the learners spread across different geographies would be interacting, engaging in question answers, or interacting with other learners simultaneously with the help of communication technologies like conference calls, www, video conferencing, etc. You can compare this with the virtual class which you people attend, right? The advantages of synchronous approach includes learning from anywhere without having to travel at a farther distance to reach training center, and the convenience of interacting with the trainer and other learners simultaneously. The disadvantage, however, of synchronous approach is that the learner has to find time to attend the class. Some students say that at this time when we are having the virtual class 7 to 9:30 in the evening, we are traveling or we are still at the workplace, so they may not find the time. That is one problem with the synchronous approach. Okay. Now we come to the second approach called the asynchronous approach. As the name indicates, the learning takes place with a time delay. The recording is done and then you can learn anytime, like this video lecture which I'm conducting right now. This video lecture is being done now. Now it will come to you, it will get uplinked to our site, and then you can see it leisurely whenever you want to see, whenever you're free. The trainer and the learner are physically separated from each other in this case also. The difference between synchronous and asynchronous is you can do this whenever you want to see, you can see it. You don't have to necessarily see this right now when the video recording is going on. The examples of asynchronous training include self-paced courses via internet or CD-ROM, videotaped classes like what we are doing here, stored audio video, web presentations, recorded audio tapes, and reading email messages. In this approach, the trainer prepares the courseware material before the course takes place. The learner is free to decide when and where he wants to learn the course. The advantages of asynchronous approach are many. For example, the learner not only can learn from any place of his choice, but also at a time at his own convenience. The cost of asynchronous training is quite lower than the synchronous training. Why is it lower? Because I need not log in, I don't have to sit in any place, I may get it anytime in any medium I want. And I don't have to spend time on the sitting at some place or something. The learning material is prepared, corrected and validated in advance of quality and consistency. However, there are disadvantages in asynchronous training. For example, there is no scope for an instant question answer session and listening to the perspective of the other learners. I'm delivering the lecture right now. You're listening to me, but you have no means of asking me questions. And you do not know who are the other people who are also listen to my lecture. So you can't get their perspectives unless you have your other forms of communication like WhatsApp or something. Okay. The learner is cut off from other learners and the trainer at the time of the learning. This brings a big challenge of understanding the content of learning, mainly by self-perception without having an instant opportunity to question, challenge or listen to others. When I'm talking, there are some parts of the topic you may not understand. You may want to challenge me, you may want to ask questions, you may not be able to do it because it's asynchronous. Of course, some students, what they do is they make it a point to send me a mail or call me up and say, sir, this is what I was watching in your video, this is what I did not get. That is going one step further by a willing learner, right? And I'm inviting you to do that. Anybody who's not understanding anything that what I'm saying at any given point of time can always call me, okay? In the absence of human interaction, it is likely to cause boredom to the learner. After about, say, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, your attention span comes down. And because of that, you may switch off, you may even put off the learning. It's possible. There are a series of activities involved in the successful implementation of e-training programs, which can together be termed as e-training program process. E-training program process is, by and large, similar to traditional learning process with a minor change. An e-training program process is shown in the figure below. Now you can see this. Identify on your right hand side, 1, 2, 3, 4 is going in a clockwise fashion. Identify the business needs and the learning needs. Second is understand the learner characteristics and design the program accordingly. Third is create infrastructure and then develop or buy the content. Fourth one is launch the program, track the progress and measure the results. Now mind you, it's a cyclical process. After four, you get a feedback, then you can go back to one, do the whole thing again in a much more efficient manner than you did earlier. So it's a cyclical thing. It's like an upward spiral. 1, 2, 3, 4, again you come to 1, 2, 3, 4, again 1, 2, 3, so it becomes a very well-defined process. Needs identification. Introduction of e-training starts with needs identification. Needs identification involves balancing between feasibility of investment on in e-training and the need and the comfort level of employees with e-training. Take this example. How much are we spending to make this thing happen for you? That is our investment. Then your need and comfort of listening to us. These two needs have to be properly matched. When the business is in serious recession and the board of directors have proposed cost reduction at all levels, it would be very difficult to justify the proposal of investing huge sums of money to developing e-training infrastructure. This is very common. Companies going through a very bad time, so they may not spend a huge amount of money in e-training. They may do some other type of training, but it may not be e-training. Similarly, if most of the employees are illiterate or they can't understand the topics you're talking, or even manual labors, there would be little logic to initiate a proposal for retraining. Some organizations started this. At the labor level, at the workers level in a factory, pharma company, they tried to initiate a e-learning. Most of them got it, but then there were a lot of hiccups. Many of them did not know how to use a medium. They did not know which button to press, which one to escape, and you know, stuff like that. So it didn't work out very well. So then they went back to the old method. Now what they're doing a hybrid combination of both, which I'm talking about at the end of the session. Design the program. Once a clear need is identified and the management accepts the proposal for the investment to develop e-training program, the training managers have to look for designing appropriate programs based on the characteristics of the learner. For example, most of those who can attend classroom training can be comfortable with synchronous learning programs, but those who have to learn on their own through asynchronous approaches require motivation, initiative, and knowledge of handling the communication gadgets. This is what I told you some time back, right? So, third point, designers may also examine whether it should be a totally e-learning, e-training approach, or should it be blended with other traditional methods of training, which is basically hybridizing, taking e-training method and also non-e-training method, the physical training method approaches, combining them together. Infrastructure. After designing the program structure, the training manager needs to create the e-training infrastructure like computers, broadband connectivity, video conferencing, other devices. The other functionaries like finance managers, facilities managers, technology managers have to be involved at this stage because of the costs incurred. Facilities to be developed and specification to be determined. So it's a multi-team task. Number of teams come together, the finance team, the facilities team, the technology, they all have to come together and support you into taking this. Take my example. I'm delivering this video lecture. So vSchool, the department to which this is, for which this is being done, they have to work out the feasibility. The facilities managers, this particular unit or partners who are doing this for us, they have to ensure that this is taken care of. They have to use a proper technology to see that, you know, this video shoot is perfectly in line with what students will understand. The various devices that are being used right now. Okay. So all this have to be done together, and then we then the designing, then the infrastructure becomes easier for me to feel comfortable with as while I'm delivering the lecture. Simultaneously, so decisions have to be made about the programs to be developed in-house and those which are required to be purchased. So the company has to ensure that some programs will be done in-house, some we have to buy it from outside, ready-made packages. The general rule at this stage is buy the generic programs like training in MS Office and develop in-house specific programs like product features of the company. Anything that is product based, anything which is not where the human involvement is less, it's only a product knowledge, then you buy it from outside. But in-house development of program also depends on the availability of expertise within the organization. I buy a new package, MS Office, a new version. I need somebody in the company to do the training for them, right? Launching. There might be initial resistance by many of the employees to learn by interacting with machines. After some time, employees get adapted to it. Not always, of course. But for continuity, e-training outcomes should be appropriately recognized and be linked to the career progression. The company should keep measuring the periodic progress of learners and finally evaluate the program outcomes against the program goals. What are the advantages of e-learning? It reduces cost and sales revenue. This is a single most influential factor in adopting e-training. The elimination of costs associated with trainers' charges, meeting room rentals, student travel, lodging and meals are directly quantifiable. The reduction of time spent away from the job by employees may be the most positive advantage. Learning times can be reduced an average of 40% to 60%, it has been estimated. Increased retention and application of the job averages an increase of 25% over traditional methods as per an independent study. Consistent delivery of content is possible with the asynchronous self-paced e-training. This is what we are doing right now. Prepared the whole package, edited it properly, made proper PPTs, underlined whatever is required, ensured that this is properly languaged. There may be little inconsistencies, but we take a lot of care into that. Expert knowledge is communicated, but more importantly captured with good e-training and knowledge management systems. On-demand availability enables students to complete training conveniently at off hours or from home. Taking it further, advantages: self-pacing for slow or quick learners reduces stress and increases satisfaction. Slow learners can learn it, they can take half an hour of a video, then stop, then again do it later. Fast learners will do it maybe at a faster pace. So you have your own pace of learning. Interactivity engages users, pushing them rather than pulling them through training. Confidence that refresher or quick refresher materials are available reduces burden of the responsibility of mastery. However, the disadvantages are initial costs involved for knee training to set up the infrastructure takes a lot of money, a lot of time. The cost consideration can prevent many organizations from go for e-training. However, in the last few years, the e-training costs, the developing of an infrastructure has come down. So many organizations are finding it affordable and feasible to take up e-training. Okay. Technology issues that play a role whether the existing technology infrastructure can accomplish the training goals or whether additional technology expenditures can be justified and whether compatibility of all software and hardware can be achieved. Technology keeps changing very fast. As a result, you may want to implement something this year, this month. After 6 months, it may get outdated. So are you ready to invest into more technology add-ons? That's again a major issue. Learner capabilities. The learner capabilities matter a lot in the use of e-training techniques, particularly of asynchronous training. An illiterate employee cannot be expected to operate a computer and the internet for training. Let me not use the word illiterate. I may say a person who is not enabled in doing that may not be able to do it. The nature of learning. E-training is appropriate for a surface level learning like acquisition of knowledge and skills. If the objective of the training relates to advanced topics like attitudes, motivation and other self-exploration issues, it may not work. I totally agree on this point. It is okay to give you some sort of a surface level thing. Even the topic I'm talking about right now, training, learning and development. Whatever we are talking is, as much as possible, I'm going into the depth of it with my experiences and background. But there is more to be explored. So if I want to tell you about attitudes required for this or a motivation required for this, then you need to know better. So this may have a certain type of a limitation. Not totally, but certain type. Cultural barriers. There are still people in this world, particularly among the working classes, who believe that use of computers and communication technology at work renders thousands of people jobless. Still, we have many people thinking like this. Such unfounded beliefs may really work as stumbling blocks for the penetration of e-training across large population. Until about 10-15 years back, we imagined that the villagers, the interiors of the country, they were not even having the basic power supply, forget about internet. But today it has penetrated very well thanks to the leverage and the cost coming down and the social awareness being increased among people about this aspect. So the cultural barriers are slowly getting overcome. Interaction, communication issues. In a classroom training program, there's a greater scope for learner-trainer interactions. With online training, the trainer has to make an effort to keep the communication going on. If there's a lack of communication, there's an online training program is surely to fail. We face this in the virtual class, for example. In the virtual class, to keep the students on from 7 p.m. at night to 9:30, you know, and maybe a little later, we have to ensure that, you know, we have to keep on motivating. So there's a lot of pressure on the faculty to see that we are keeping them engaged and see that they're all actively involved in the discussions. It takes time and it needs a skill. So not all of them can do this because you may have 150, 200 students online. If the trainer is not able, if the faculty is not able to keep them riveted into attention and also with the subject, with his own skills, after some time we'll find that students one by one, they disappear. It happens in some cases. Trainer personality. Online training demands much more openness, flexibility, concern and friendly attitude on the part of the trainer. The person who's talking has to connect. The connection is a very important thing. And he has to stay focused with the training module, the issue, the training thing, rather than getting personal with anybody. And he must learn how to handle certain types of objections, certain types of, you know, attitudes among people who are sitting remotely, especially in synchronous training. The trainer has to compensate for the lack of physical proximity in every possible way. The trainer needs to make the learners comfortable because most people are apprehensive about online training. Learner motivation issues. The learner needs to feel himself, keep himself motivated. If he's not motivated, we have a problem. To keep the learner focused and engaged in the learning process is a challenge in any training program. Ask me. With online training program, the challenge increases because the trainer is not physically present and the learners, if they are taking the training program from home, there may be lots of distractions. This happens in many cases. In the recent last few months, you know, I've been conducting a lot of Zoom sessions for some of my corporate people and also some private groups. They are sitting at home, there are a lot of distractions from home, so they don't learn to isolate themselves when the Zoom session is going to happen, actually. The advantages and disadvantages of e-training may vary depending upon program goals, target audience, organizations, infrastructure and culture. Make it work. At the end of the day, I simply say make it work. If you're going in for e-training, you must know the scale of operation, how to make it work, how to see that maximum reach takes place. But it is inarguably growing as a medium of training delivery, and most are discovering that the clear benefits of e-training will guarantee it a role of their overall training strategy. Let it not become a glamour. Introducing e-training, you know, making people sit in different terminals in different geographies, just a glamour. Let it not become a fashion statement. Let it really serve the purpose. And to serve the purpose, you have to prepare the ground for that. And you have to also overcome a lot of these cultural barriers and all which I talked about. Okay? Now we come to blended hybrid training. That is what we are actually doing. When we call our course as a hybrid course, we are actually giving you the combination of both. After reading volumes of literature on various training approaches and attending many training seminars, the training managers often wonder which is the best approach for effective training. There are no ready and easy answers to this question. In fact, there are several instances wherein a mixture of traditional program with e-training makes the purpose of training. Here comes the concept of blended training. Blended training is an approach which combines e-training with other traditional methods of training for delivering a training session. Over the past few years, training professionals have become more practical in their approach to technology-based learning by using it to expand traditional forms of training delivery, such as classroom instructions and text-based materials. In corporate training today, for example, I have this training which happens in the training room in a location. There are follow-up sessions to be done. So in the follow-up session, I could be doing it on an e-training basis. I could be using the electronic medium. Or we have what are called as debriefing sessions. The manager's concerned will come and debrief me about what the training impact was on him or her and what are the different behavioral issues they are facing after training. So for that, I don't have to go to the company. They don't have to come to me. So they may schedule a time with me and then I'll keep myself free and then they come online. They may be either having a video session or we may just be doing something on an audio conferencing. It can happen that way, con call. This trend has led to the rise of the term blended training. The term has come to mean different things to different people. Blended training programs in the corporate training would be defined as any possible combination of a wide range of training delivery approaches designed to solve specific business problems. Different training problems require different solutions, and the key is to apply the right mix to a given business problem. Hence, blended training is effectively replacing e-training. Unlike traditional education, corporate training exists primarily to improve business performance. Training is not just to make an employee smarter. Rather, the ultimate objective is to increase revenue or cost. Blended training is a natural evolution of e-training into an integrated program of multiple media types applied towards a business problem in an optimum manner. Blended training is a natural evolution of an e-training into an integrated program of multiple media types applied towards a business problem in an optimum way. One of the simplest approaches is to create electronic content and surround it with human interactive content. This is the best thing to do if you ask me. By all means, use the electronic medium, but don't be over dependent on that. It is not effective. It's expensive also. There are things which human beings can do which electronic cannot do. And there are things which electronic can do which human beings will fumble. So take the best of both worlds and integrate them together. This approach of surrounding an e-training with humans enables to create high interest, accountability and real assessment of the results in the e-training program. In order to make blended training more powerful, trainers look at all the media as options. I look at classroom training, I look at web-based training, I look at webinars, I look at CD-ROM courses, videos and simulations. Other options which are less exciting but just as important include books, job aids, conference calls, documents and PowerPoint slides. So I come to the end of the session where I'm going to be giving you author's perspective, my perspective as a trainer on this particular topic. Traditional training methods involve personal one-on-one, face-to-face interactions in a training room where both trainers and trainees were physically present. Even today, most of the trainings are physical. Whatever we may say, in India and also many parts of advanced countries, they choose and prefer the one-on-one physically present in front of each other real-time training. Whether it's a product training or whether it's a behavioral training, more so for a behavioral training, it's important that one should be on one-on-one. Thereby, we actually optimize on the time available and the resource available. Imagine conducting a behavioral training online. There'll be a lot of issues, a lot of things which can't be properly calibrated and effectively done. Then there'll be a repetition, again a repetition. There'll be a lot of bad blood, bad names. You know, people say this is not okay, trainer is not okay, so-and-so is not okay. Many times people don't even realize that a behavioral training cannot be done online, because in a behavioral training there are a lot of one-on-one issues that need to be handled by the trainer as well as by the trainees. So I would say that if you're opting for a behavioral training, use electronic medium if you want to, but keep it as minimum as possible. For follow-ups you can do it, for subsequent interactions after the main training is over, you can do it. But the main training, necessarily, my recommendation is it should happen in a physical location, one-on-one with each, facing with each other. Not on the electronic medium, not virtually. After the advent of the internet and other technological advances, training has been leveraged by the use of internet and distance contact. I'm using internet things for my training, but I use it only when it is required. When it is not required, there's no need to unnecessarily go and become glamorously attached to these things. At least not in my area of behavioral training. At the same time, the businesses have grown in multiple proportions globally, that too rapidly, and we have technological advantage. We also have rapid changes occurring in businesses. Hence, physical training has been augmented with e-training, so the hybridization has started. Although e-training seems very attractive in terms of time, cost and geography, it cannot substitute one-on-one training. I've already mentioned this. It can only be an augmented support. It gives a leverage. That's it. In the recent years, with the advent of hybrid learning, organizations and institutions which need to spread training to large number of participants geographically have opted for the hybrid form of training. In the hybrid training, the e-support augments the physical one, one-on-one, with the learning and the personal touch and certain deeper aspects of human interactions are covered. There are more advantages than disadvantages in physical one-on-one training, no matter how expensive it may be perceived as. And with this, my dear friends, I conclude this module. Thank you for listening. Wish you all the best.